The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. If you could read next year's headlines today, I imagine you would not be willing to believe what they would say. I doubt very much if many people would have believed if a prognosticator or prophet could have told them sometime early in 1973 that we would be living under the conditions that we face every single day right now and really sound believable. Any time before the Yom Kippur War, if someone had seriously propounded to you that the entirety of the Western democracies of the so-called developed world would have been in economic chaos, if someone could have told you of all of the events that have transpired to make this world the way it is today, and done so only about a year or a year and a half ahead of time, I imagine you would have thought the poor person was totally crazy. If we could read next year's headlines, or the headlines of 2 or 3 or 5 years from now, I doubt that we would want to. I doubt very much if we would really want to know just how bad and how desperate conditions can become on the face of this earth before they get any better. And yet, do you know those headlines have been written? Do you know that the exact trends and circumstances and conditions on this earth today have been predicted in advance? And some of the prophecies that prescribe exactly how humankind is to live and that describe exactly what is going to occur, some of those prophecies in the Bible can be very explicit. They can be very particular, very much technically detailed. Very few people pay much attention to prophecy except some of the sensationalizing of it by religious types or theologians who talk a great deal about prophecy. There are some mysterious portions of the Bible that many people have difficulty understanding. The book of Daniel, as it relates to the book of Revelation. You hear of dates and names and places and numbers and mountains and women and many-headed creatures and strange-sounding dragons and beasts. And yet it's difficult to put any real sense to it all, to understand Bible prophecy. About a third of the Bible is prophecy, and Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a prophet. Much of what he said was prophecy. Believe it or not, even the gospel itself is prophecy. Most people don't understand what is the gospel. The word gospel has a familiar ring to the average American, church-going, professing Christian. To anyone who feels he is a Christian, or even people who are not, they've heard about gospel preaching. They've heard about the gospel, gospel singers, gospel music, gospel names, and the like. But the word gospel is an old, old English word that antedates the United States of America by quite a few years. If we were to write the Bible directly into modern English of today from the Greek or the Latin, I doubt very much that we would ever even come up with a word called gospel. It simply would not even be in our vocabulary. Instead, we would probably see where the Greek language was good news, and we would so translate it. Many modern English translators do precisely that. But because, oh, say about 50 years ago, in those decades where the evangelical types and the Christian crusader types became so well known in the United States of America, and the one major English language Bible that was extant and available to all people was the King James translation, the word gospel became a part of our society, as it were. And people really think in their own minds that the gospel means that Christ is Christ, that he is Jesus, and that you have to believe on him. They think that the gospel means that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that if they confess their sins and say they accept or they receive Jesus Christ, that they are saved. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that there is a man who came whose name was Jesus, who was the Son of God, and if you believe on him, you're saved. Now, many Christian preachers could say there's more to it than that. They could talk about the fact that maybe you ought to be baptized, or you ought to join their church, or you ought to go to church, or you ought to do something. Others would say, no, you must not do anything. It's all been done for you, or done to you, or done in your stead. But the point I'm making is the word gospel is not even understood today the way it would have been if the Bible we had today were translated directly out of some of the more ancient languages. Rather, you would see Jesus coming and preaching what is called the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Now, Jesus did preach what is called good news. And news is news of events, news of happenings, advance news before it occurred. He wasn't talking about the daily news of the time in which he lived. He came bringing good news of what is called the kingdom of God. Now, the word gospel merely means good news. It's an exact synonym. It's an old, outdated word which really is unfortunate that people even have all of a misunderstanding about it. Because if you understood, for example, that the so-called Gospel of Matthew is more an eyewitness personal report, like a scribe, like a secretary, like a male companion who was educated, who wrote down not only all that Jesus said, not all that he said, of course, but the inference, the meaning, and the important things that he said, such as the Sermon on the Mount and some of the parables and some of the important sermons in that sense or teaching that he gave. And also, however, even related the genealogical tables of Christ's birth and ancestry. And he says, he shall be great, his name is Jesus, verse 31, Luke 1, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. I can prove to you, as I've already done, and there are many other texts that relate to it, and you can have them all in this booklet called The United States and the British Commonwealth in Prophecy, if you will write for it, that the throne of David is guaranteed by Bible promises, by the very Word of God, and His Word stands or falls on that promise. That throne is guaranteed to remain on this earth. So here's a prophecy that says Jesus Christ of Nazareth will inherit a throne on this earth eventually. It says he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. So don't spiritualize that away and say, oh sure, he's reigning up in heaven, that fulfills it. No, look at it with your own eyes and realize that this scripture is one which is not believed by almost all of professing Christendom. But it says he will inherit the throne of his father David. That throne was to be on this earth. It still is, and it will be. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Christ is going to inherit an earthly throne eventually and rule with a rod of iron, it shows in Revelation 20 and verse 4. Read that scripture if you'd like. And read Revelation 2:26 and Revelation 3:21, where it says to those who overcome, he will grant to sit with him in his throne, and that they will rule and reign as kings for 1,000 years. Well, write for this book that I've announced, The United States and the British Commonwealth in Prophecy. That's free of charge and no price. And also, while you're at it, write for this booklet, How to Understand Prophecy, that takes you through what is prophecy, common misconceptions about it, how prophecy is a complete mystery to millions of people, but it doesn't need to be. Who were the prophets? What kind of men were they? Why were prophecies written? How were they preserved? How they were written for our day and that they are to be fulfilled today? The amazing prophecy of Ezekiel, how he was a Jewish captive and wrote to people that he never reached. You'll find prophetic symbolism and prophetic time lapses explained. You'll find how the Bible interprets itself. Some of the common symbols of prophecy are explained in this booklet. Also the date of Ezekiel, very carefully done. How to Understand Prophecy. It's free of charge. Also write for the United States and the British Commonwealth in Prophecy. It's free, and the plain truth. Up-to-the-moment articles making plain what is happening, especially in today's shaky economy with soaring joblessness, and you need to know what all these things mean in the light of Bible prophecy. It's free of charge if you write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California. That's Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California. That's all the address you need. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.